The Long and After Show on the air for Brigadier. Brigadier, a division of General Motors, presents a brand new comedy show with Clarence Hartzell, Andy Devine, and starring Lum and Abner.
Abner, where's that old typewriter we used to have around the store?
Well, what do you want that thing for?
I want it because I've just been given the important job of writing the Pine Ridge column for the county paper. Ain't that a lucky break?
It sure is. My subscription run out yesterday.
You know, the paper's been wanting to get a good, smart Pine Ridge correspondent for a long time.
They just plain flat give up and had to take you, huh?
You know, to tell the truth, the subject of hiring me has come up time and time again.
It has?
Yeah, but this time I talked them into it. Now, where's that typewriter at?
Well, more likely it's in the hawk shop.
No, it ain't. Don't you recollect we hawked your cornet to get the typewriter out of there?
Yeah, but then we had to hawk the typewriter again to get enough money to make the next payment on my cornet.
Yeah, but then we hawked your music stand to get the typewriter out again so we could use it to write a letter to the cornet people telling them you'd be a little late with your next payment on the music stand.
Lum, do you think I ought to give up music?
Well, I ain't got time to worry about that now. I've got to get started scooping up some hot flashes before the presses start to roll.
Huh.
Oh, this is just what I've been looking for, Admiral. A talented man like me needs a release for his penned-up emotions.
Well, you keep on talking like that, and you'll sure need a release. They'll have you penned up for the rest of your life. Mr. E. L. Frawley and...
Abner, stop reading over my shoulder and get out of my house. Why don't you go home? I've got to get this news column wrote up and in the mail by midnight.
Well, Lum, I just want to see what hot flashes you're putting down.
All I've got is just this one hot flash so far. Mr. E. L. Frawley and wife went to Hatfield yesterday.
Is that it?
Why, sure.
Do you think that's a little racy for the paper?
Well, this is just a rough draft, of course.
Oh.
I'm going to do the whole thing over and make it even more interesting.
Well, let's see now. How can you make it more interesting? Mr. E. L. Frawley and wife went, hey, find out whose wife that was, huh? That might be interesting.
It was his own wife that went with him.
Oh, just a business trip, huh?
I wonder if there ain't some other slant I could get on Mr. Frawley.
Why, which way does he slant now?
I mean, get the human interest angle in it. Make it sound, well, you know, sort of sad.
It sounds pretty sad the way you got it.
Now, let's look at it this way. Here's two people.
Yeah.
Mr. E.L. Frawley and wife. They went to Hatfield. But these two people are not just names. They're human beings with hearts that beat, with loves and hate, with hopes and ambitions, courage to carry on. What do two people like that do?
Well, they went to Hatfield.
Now, maybe I better call him up and see if there ain't some little interesting sidelight I'm overlooking.
Lum, why don't you just send it in the way it is and let it go?
No, no. The paper's depending on me to get the big news to them hot and fast, and I, grannies, I ain't going to let them down.
Oh, man.
Hello? Is this Mrs. Frawley?
Can't wait to get the paper and read that.
Oh, I see. Well, is Mr. Frawley there? No, nothing important. Yeah, I tell him I'll call later.
Flash-headed.
Goodbye. Well, I'll just have to wait a while to find out if there's anything interesting about their Hatfield trip.
Ain't they there?
No. Miss Frawley's outside with a lantern digging around under the house. Seems that their dog buried some dynamite under there and they can't find it.
Where's Mr. Frawley?
Oh, she's got him tied up in the barn. Said he got mad and bit the dog. Well, let's see now. There ought to be something interesting about the Frawley.
Yeah, seems like it, yeah.
Now, we know they went to Hatfield.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Blame it, just when I was getting this story rolling. Just come in.
Good evening. Good evening.
Oh. Howdy, Ben.
What's new? Well, we always went to Hatfield yesterday.
No.
I know that was started, yeah? Sit down, Ben. Make yourself comfortable.
No, now, wait a minute. I don't want you fellas to think I'm unhospitable, but I'm going to have to ask both of you to run along because I've just got to get my newspaper column wrote.
Well, I can't stay long anyway, Lum. I'm going to Osbert Stackpool's wedding tonight.
Osbert Stackpool? I never knew he was getting married.
Well, it's a big secret because he's marrying a rather famous person.
Would you two hash up and let me concentrate on writing this news about the Pauly?
I'm sorry, Lum. Who's Osbert married?
A former gala star of Barnum and Bailey Circus.
Sure enough.
Who? Chartreuse Muff, the bearded lady.
Will you please hash up that fiddle prattle?
Where did Osbert ever get acquainted with her?
Yes. They met several years ago when the circus was playing Little Rock. And Osbert fell in love with the bearded lady because she reminded him of his father.
Now, ain't that sweet?
And for several years, they were apart, but each year at Christmas, they exchanged mustache cups.
Well, is she actually in Pine Ridge right now?
Oh, yes. She and Osbert are getting spruced up for the wedding. They're both at the barber shop now getting a shave.
Well, bless their heart.
Raymond, how can I ever study up any news about Pine Ridge with you two maniacs raving your heads off?
Oh, excuse us, Lom.
I've rewrote this news flash, Admiral. Listen and see if it sounds better now.
Yeah, that sounds better. Tell me, Ben.
Wait a minute. I ain't read it to you yet. It's just in a rough form, you understand. Says Mr. E.L. Frawley, well-known prominent Pine Ridge citizen and resident of this city, and wife, local woman. Yesterday, motored by car to another city, namely Hatfield, from which city the above-named couple returned to the formerly mentioned city from there. Mr. Frawley is well thought of in the community.
Wonder if his wife still got him tied up in the barn.
Well, that reminds me, I better try calling him again and check the details of that Hatfield trip.
Yeah, you better do it before the old lady strikes that dynamite that's under the house. Say, Ben, about that wedding.
Oh, dadgummit, now the line's busy. Couple old biddies on there flapping their jaws.
What are they talking about?
Oh, I don't know. Something about Ms. Goshen having Quinn Truthless.
Again?
Talk. Don't they know the paper's got to go to press tomorrow?
Well, Lum, you can't expect women folks to know about important things.
Say, Lum, I was just thinking Mrs. Goshen's quintuplets might be worth a line in your column in as much as this is her birthday. She's 61.
Look, I'll write the column, Ben. Don't bother me now. If Mr. Frawley ain't got nothing to do with it, I ain't interested. Mr. E.L. Frawley, local resident.
Well, I better be going. I want to fix up for the wedding. Formal, you know. White tie and parachute.
Parachute?
Yes, the ceremony is to be held in a balloon.
Oh, dog, is I'd love to see that. Let's go along.
No.
Yeah, come along. If we hurry, we can stop by the town hall and hear Governor McMath speak.
Is the governor in town?
Yes. He's here to discuss putting in a big new highway through Pine Ridge. Come on, Lum.
No, how would that look to my paper, me running around to governor's speeches and seeing the bearded ladies getting married in balloons when I'm supposed to be getting news? Now get out, both of you. Hatfield yesterday. Oh, dadgum the luck. Come in.
Say, love. Come quick, I need your help.
Look, Sister Simpson, I'm awful busy tonight.
Where did you stop to get me? I'm scared to death.
I can't help it. I'm working on an article about the Frawley family.
Listen,
let go of me.
Listen, love. A robber broke in from a boarding house, and Maud Toots has got him trapped in her closet.
Well, call the police. I'm a newspaper man.
I can't wait for the police. She got to hit me right now. I'm scared plumb to death.
Well, if Maud Toops has got him trapped, what are you so scared of?
Well, I'm scared she's going to keep him, and I see him first.
You just have to fight that out just yourselves, because I'm too busy writing this.
Come on in, Ben. Oh, well, howdy, Sister Sampson.
Oh, Abner, I'm glad you're here. Maybe you'll help me. You know, somebody broke into the boarding house tonight.
Was he slight of build, scraggly hair, rather eccentric looking?
No, he wasn't.
Good. That lets me out.
What'd you fellas come back for? I thought you went to a speech and a wedding.
Well, we did, but they had to call the speech off because the town hall's on fire.
The wedding was postponed because the balloon exploded.
Well, I'm going to explode if you fellas don't get out of here and let me alone. I was just getting going good on the Frawley story.
Well, who's going to help me to get that robber away from Maud Toots?
Oh, keep quiet, Sister Simpson, and let me answer the phone. It's the worst day I've ever... Hello? Oh, yes, Miss Frawley, I did call you. Well, I'm the new reporter for Pine Ridge, and I was just checking my facts on that trip you and Mr. Frawley made to Hatfield yesterday. Oh, I see. Uh-huh. Well, much obliged. Goodbye.
Do your facts check?
Yeah. Well, except I got one little detail wrong.
Which one?
They never went. They ain't going till tomorrow. Now I've got to get a new angle on the whole dad blame story. E.L. Frawley and wife are aiming on going to Hatfield, or no, are fixing to go.
Here, Ben, you want another sandwich?
Why don't you two varmints go home?
Well, we can't. We got to eat up all these sandwiches we made.
Well, take them home with you.
We can't go now. We're boiling up another pot of coffee.
What are you making so much coffee for?
Well, we have to drink a lot of coffee in order to stay awake long enough to eat all the sandwiches.
This won't come out even. We've
tried it three times.
Well, here, maybe you can tell me this, then. Which is correct? A party is aiming on going to Hatfield, or a party is fixing to go to Hatfield?
Is the whole party going over there now?
Mom, I think the only time you'd use aiming is in the event that the party going to Hatfield is being shot out of a cannon.
Wait a minute, Ben Withers. You can't move that checker there. That's cheap.
That's not cheating. It's highly condoned by the rules.
If you don't take that man back, I'll condone you right on top of your dumb dome.
Now, cut that out. You've caused me to rewrite this story about the Frawley so many times, it seems like it's almost lost its sparkle.
Well, why don't you send that silly thing in and forget it?
Of course, I ain't got it quite right yet.
Well, how have you got it now?
Well, you understand now, this is still in, shall we say, in the rough.
Yes, let's.
According to a report received here recent from sources which your correspondent is not at liberty to divulge, it was revealed last night that it was alleged that Mr. E.L. Frawley and wife are going to Hatfield. Now, you like it that way, Ben, or the other way?
Yes. Sure move, Ben.
All right. What time are they leaving, Mom?
Well, they're going to leave about, now that might be an interesting sideline. Yeah, I believe I'll just call them and check into that. Strangers, I wish people stay away from here tonight. Come in. Well, for goodness sake, Opie Case. Yeah, what are you doing out this late?
Well, Uncle Luke sent me over to use your telephone because ours is out of order, Uncle Luke said.
Well, I'm sorry, Opie, but I've got to keep the wire open because I might get a hot flash over at any minute. Can't you wait till tomorrow to make your call?
Well, yeah, I can, but I don't know if Uncle Luke can, though.
Why came you?
Well, you see, he went down in the basement to fix a leak in the water pipe, and I really don't know how much longer he can tread water.
Oh, I see. And you want to call a plumber, huh?
Well, no, the plumber's already there, but he's all right, though. He's got one of them two-man life rafts.
Well, why don't he let Luke get in the raft with him?
Well, I don't know. He claims he just ain't got enough provisions for one man.
Well, if the plumber's there, I don't know what you have to make a phone call for.
Well, you see, the plumber asked me to hold the flashlight for him, and then he found out I didn't have a union card, so now I gotta... So now I gotta call up and find out where I have to go to join the union.
Well, I wouldn't know who to tell you to call. I've got to contact the police before Horace Greeley beats me to the story.
Well, there's a fellow back in Clinton, Arkansas I might call, Earl Bidbolt.
Please keep quiet, Opie.
Earl wasn't a plumber himself. He was a plumber's friend.
Hello?
He had a lot of pull.
Miss Rawling, this is Mom Edwards again. I want to check another fact on that Happy Meal trip.
Earl married one of the Kessler girls.
I couldn't hear you, Miss Rawling.
The freckled one, Laverne.
Opie, would you shut up? I can't hear nothing. Now, what was that again?
I said the freckled one, Laverne.
I wasn't talking to you. Miss Brawley, could you speak a little louder?
Earl and Laverne wore the same size overshoes.
Louder, please.
Well, to tell the overshoes apart, they painted his and hers on them.
Opie, will you shut up?
Is that Conchon nephew of mine here?
Oh, hello, Uncle Lou.
Look, Miss Brawley, I better call you back. Goodbye.
Opie, what do you think I am anyway, a water buffalo?
Now, listen here, Luke. This ain't no bus depot.
You keep out of this, Lum. This is a family fight. There's enough mean, ornery critters in my family to make it a good one.
Evening, Luke.
Evening, Abner. Opie, what is the idea of leaving there at ground? I'm going to send you back to Clinton and tell your Aunt Minnie to lock you in a trunk and send it somewhere where you won't never be heard from again. I'll send it to Molotov.
Molotov?
He's a little peeper, Ben. If I ever set eyes on you again, I'll pound you so far into the ground, your Aunt Minnie will have to drill for you.
Granny's outstood all this, I'm going to. Come on, Luke, out you go.
Put me down now, Lumbester. Put me down now.
You pipe down. I'm a newspaper man, and there ain't nothing going to keep me from reporting the news.
Now listen here, Lum.
Who's Molotov?
Ah, there you are, Mom. Just lay your head back on the sofa.
What happened?
Oh, you just had a nervous breakdown. You'll be all right in a few days.
2 days? I've got to get up right now. I've got to get that column rope tonight. The presses has got to roll tomorrow. Get Miss Frawley on the phone.
Mom, that ain't so important.
What do you mean ain't so important? That's my big scoop.
Well, maybe you can think of something else to write about.
Well, what else is there? Nothing else important is going on. I'm staking my whole newspaper career on the Frawley story. Now, get out of here, everybody. Everybody out of the house.
Well, Mom, they went out to watch a police chase that escaped convict that's running loose in town.
Good. Now then. For pity's sake.
Come in. Well, Mose Moose.
Hey, Abner.
Say, did you fellas finally get that fire put out?
Yes, sir. And Abner, I don't like to brag on myself, but there was undoubted the finest fire Pine Ridge has ever had.
I didn't get to see it myself, but I heard it was something we could all be proud of. How did that thing get started, anyway?
Well, sir, Abner, I tell you.
All right, Mose, now I ain't got time to sit here and listen to a lot of brittle prattle. I've got to get this Frawley story wrote up right away, if you don't mind.
No, we don't mind. Go ahead. You won't bother us, Tom.
If your typing gets too loud, we can just raise our voices.
Fine cooperation I get around here.
How'd you say the fire started now, Mose?
Well, sir, when I got the call, I jumped right up, sharpened my axe, and rushed right over there to the lunchroom.
I thought it was the town hall that burned.
It was, but I haven't eaten yet. You know I can't crawl around through a smoke-filled building on an empty stomach.
On yours you can. They can bounce you through there.
Mose, will you shut up, please?
Sorry, Lum. Anyway, when I got there, it was just a little bitty blaze in that old shack next to the town hall. Some little second-rate fire like you'd expect to see at Mount Ivy.
Oh, no.
And that dumb Charlie Redfield wanted to rush in and stomp it out.
Well, you know, Charlie, all are going off half-cocked.
It was just my quick thinking that kept him from doing it, too.
Good for you. Good for you, Mo.
I took right over, and I ordered Tom Foster to fan the fire to where the flames was bright enough for us to see what we was doing.
Well, I think so, don't you? A man can't go stumbling around in the dark that way, no.
After I made sure the fire was going good, I ordered the boys to hook up the hose. And that's when I discovered it was about 40 feet short.
Oh, what could you do in a case like that?
Well, I admit it had me stumped for a minute, but then in a flash, I seen what I had to do. Boys, I says, if we can't get the hose over to the fire, there's only one thing to do. Get the fire over to the hose.
Dogus, now that's what I call reason.
Of course, old dumb Charlie wanted to throw a bucket of sand on it and go home.
Oh.
But his chief of the volunteer fire department has stood my ground. Boys, I said, if we just wait this thing out, the town hall is bound to catch on fire sooner or later. And then we'll have this fire right here where we want it.
Oh, you was clicking.
And sure enough, about an hour later, there it was. The prettiest, biggest fire I ever hoped to see.
Hey, wait a minute, Mose. Was Mr. Frawley at the fire?
Not that I know of.
Can't blame it. For a minute there, I thought I had a good angle on the Frawley story.
Yes, sir, Abner? That was not only the greatest fire in the history of Pine Ridge, but that long wait in there gave us time to sell 102 tickets for the fireman's ball.
Well!
And here's the funniest thing. Now that the hall's burnt down, we ain't got no place to hold the dance.
Hi, Granny Zander. There it is, the Crawley story, polished beyond perfection.
Well, how have you got it now?
Now, listen to this.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. E.L. Frawley and wife are going to Hatfield tomorrow.
Yeah, now you've got some. Send it in, quick.
Now, wait. I want to call the Frawleys once more and verify the facts. Hello, Miss Frawley.
Oh, we'll get that number.
Now, about that Hatfield trip. Oh, I see. All right. Goodbye.
Hey, wait, what are you tearing it up for, Long?
Oh, my whole column's shot. The trip's off.
What happened?
Oh, old man Frawley can't make it.
Why?
He died. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Red Cross time again. I know we don't need to tell you the tremendous job the Red Cross tackles every year, day in and day out, but we do want to remind you to make that contribution extra big this year. Come on, Ed.
Yeah, well, wait a minute, Long. We ain't getting a clue for the Phantom on the Sing It Again program.
Oh, yeah. What is the clue this week?
Well, now, listen good. Here it is. A dance, a town, a river, too, provides a most important clue.
There you are, folks. Good luck.
Yeah, and if you win that $14,500 jackpot, I know that I'll tell you the best invest you can make. The American Red Cross.
Two hundred.
Show is brought to you each week with best wishes of your Frigid Air dealer and Frigid Air division of General Motors, manufacturers of a complete line of home appliances, air conditioners, and commercial refrigeration equipment. Ben Withers is played by Clarence Hartzell. Moe's Moot by Andy Devine, and Opie Case was played by Opie Case. The script is written by Roz Rogers and Betty Boyle with music by Felix Mills. Listen next Sunday and every Sunday to three great comedy shows, Jack Benny, Amos and Andy, and Love and Abner. So until then, this is Wendell Niles saying goodnight for Frigidaire, America's number one refrigerator. Broadcasting.